FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's October 3rd, 2017. Hard to believe this year is less than 90 days to go. Is that right? Yeah, less than 90 days before it's all over, or right around 90 days. I haven't looked at the calendar and counted it out, but that's 3 months, three very short, quick months to finish up the year on a positive note. Hey, before we get started, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. I'm about 40 emails behind right now. I will return your email, I promise. And don't forget to comment on the website on the various articles that we post. I will be looking at those and using the questions you raise on the show. But on to the show. So you heard recently North Korea said that the U.S. was at war with North Korea. I mean, what's new about that? We never really settled the war, the Korean War. We've been at war ever since. It's kind of been an undeclared state of war, but war nonetheless. Well, Paul Kengor is with us now. Paul, you're a professor at Grove City College and author, and we appreciate your coming on the show.
Yeah, sure, Kerry. Good to be with you. Thanks.
Hey, so North Koreans, right, what do you make of them? Are they nuts? Or are they crazy, sly like a fox? Or are they just self-destructive like Clinton? What is with Kim Jong-un?
Well, it's a pretty good, that's a pretty good assessment. It's probably a little bit of each. I mean, it is really, Kerry. I mean, this goes back literally 70 years. I mean, it goes back to the mid-1940s when the first Kim took over right after World War II, and that was Kim Il-sung. He died in 1994, and then he was followed by his son, Kim Jong-il. And, you know, that Kim was in from 1994 until his death not that long ago. And now you've got the latest Kim, Kim Jong-un. So you basically have here a kind of, a bizarre hereditary totalitarian communist monarchy. unlike anything we've ever seen before. I mean, in most communist countries, you've had successors of leaders unelected. If you just consider the Soviet Union, Lenin and Stalin and Khrushchev and Brezhnev and so on, but they weren't all related. Maybe the only other parallel might be Fidel and Raul, just about 70 to 100 miles south of Florida in Cuba. But they've been, the most scary thing of all is that they've been aggressively pursuing nuclear weapons development since the early 1990s. And we tried to stop them, tried to do a number of different things. Every president failed. And then about 10 years ago, the previous Kim set one off.
Yeah.
He set off an atomic bomb. And then this most recent Kim, of all things, in a truly stunning development that surprised even me, and I always expect the worst with North Korea, the man apparently actually set off a hydrogen bomb, which, the H-bomb, the super, the hell bomb. And, that is a bomb of immense destructive capacity. So it's not a good situation. And, I don't know. I don't know where all this ends up, frankly.
So has the Korean madman met his match in Donald Trump? Does he know what Trump is going to do?
I don't know. I've debated this so many times with my students in the classroom at different think tanks around the country, and I've gone back and forth on this. And I'm a conservative Republican, and I don't want. I'm sympathetic to the point by a lot of liberals and other people right now about you don't want Trump to provoke him, right? Then again, look at what we've done in the past where we haven't been provocative, and look at what he's done, right? The Kims have only gotten worse. So a policy of non-provocation certainly hasn't worked. You know, of course, somebody would say, yeah, but now he's really got the bomb and he's got the delivery capability. So you really don't want to stir the hornet's nest now. And yeah, I suppose that's true, too. I, on the other hand, and, you know, this is really the rub here, Kerry, is I don't know what you do about this and this guy, this situation. And it's really easy for people to say, well, I know what you do. You take him out. Well, you know, how do you take him out? You know, really, I want people to sit down and think about that. Well, you irradiate. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to nuke North Korea, drop 100 bombs on North Korea and kill 10 million people while he's hiding in a bunker with his harem?
It's a start.
Start. Right, yeah. But the one thing you don't want to do is kill innocents who have been, I mean, these poor people in North Korea have been slaves.
Yes.
To these madmen for 70 years. And the worst thing you'd want to see is for them to bear the further brunt, for them to get nuked while he's down in his hole in the ground, you know, watching his massive collection of private pornography with his bleach blonde harem of his so-called satisfaction corps, which is what he calls these women, whose job it is to satisfy him, drinking his Hennessy cognac. His father was the single largest private purchaser of Hennessy cognac.
And I love cognac, but but it's no way to run a country with cognac diplomacy. You get a little hazy very quickly with that.
Right. And also, too, so if he's protected and then we nuke his country to take him out, but fail to get him, but get everybody else, and then he does fire off a nuke, and then we get hit, and he's still in power. So there's no easy solution. Remember Iraq, we did a flat-out complete invasion, and damned if we couldn't find Saddam Hussein until the end of the year when we found that he had dug a hole under a barn.
Well,
and was hiding under there. Remember how long it took to find General Manuel Noriega in Panama?
Hey, look, look, they still never caught Martin Bormann, and for all we know, he could still be alive. Eichmann was years after, and Dr. Mengele, all of those guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, maybe they're just hoping if they turn it into glass, wherever the bolt hole is that he's run off to will just be glassed over and he won't be able to get out.
Well, I think what you really want is, I mean, you're looking for some sort of, you know, this is another thing that sounds easier than it actually is, but you're looking for some form of some sort of gem of intelligence from somebody on the ground who can tell you exactly where he is. And then you don't nuke the place, but you use cruise missiles or whatever to hit him where he is. And we tried that with Saddam. Many times.
Oops.
And we failed.
Not
so good.
But
the problem with North Korea is it's such a closed society. I don't know if we have anybody in there on the ground.
Well, we're going to talk about that up next. But first, is your business in need of great talent but short on time? You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools. What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, and less time-consuming? So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire. If you're hiring, you know that the quality hires keep your business moving forward. But you also know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate for the job. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Hardest job in the world, finding the right people. You know that. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just a click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work for you, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them for you. You can even get a head start on the interview process by adding screening questions to your job post to help identify the most qualified candidates, so you don't have to waste time sorting through a stack of resumes to find the perfect fit. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day or less. And the easy-to-use ZipRecruiter dashboard lets you manage your hiring process from start to finish, all in one place. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So I know you want to find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you, the FSN community, can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. I'm telling you, that's right, for free. Just go over to ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz. Get started right now. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz, and you can find your perfect hire today. One last time, ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz. So we are back. I view this whole dispute a little bit differently. I think it's China. China has complete control of North Korea. I don't believe anything to the contrary. Nobody's ever proved that North Korea is acting independently. So they've just been used by China, and understanding that China hasn't dictated their behavior, but rather enabled it. And they're just trying to get a better deal from the U.S. with trade wars and all that heating up. So view Korea as an errant province of China. And I think it's easier to deal with them, because then Trump's bargaining of using China to shut down North Korea is the only way it can work. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
That's great policy. I think that's exactly right. But here, the only problem with relying on China is that China doesn't give a damn about people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it goes back to statements from Mao. So what if 500 million Chinese were lost in a nuclear exchange, Mao said, we'd still have another 500 million Chinese left, right? I mean, they see people as a problem, so much so that they have a one child policy in the country. So yeah, they don't really care if I don't think the Chinese care at all, the communist Chinese. Perhaps. If Kim turns that whole place into a slave state. And the other thing is, I mean, on one hand, if there were actually moral people in charge of China who were genuinely offended and said, wow, this guy's got to go, and then they did the right thing and took him out or arrested him when he came to Beijing or something like that, then the problem is that China would realize that North Korea would probably then be their baby, right? Mm-hmm. It would be their issue. They would have to take care of it, and they could give a rip about 25 million North Koreans. They don't care about them. So the last thing that they want to do is kind of pick up a country that where the entire average per capita income is about $900 a year. So I appreciate the point on Trump seeing China as key. I think that's right, and I think it's one of the things he has to do. But I don't know that China's going to resolve it. I think the only solution is to take out Kim. But then, as I said, I don't know how you take out Kim. So it's a really bad situation.
Well, where there's a will, there's a lawyer. That's what I always say. But look, this is the only way that it can go down is with China seeing it as more in their disinterest to keep supporting and enabling the hermit kingdom than it is in their interest. That's all they care about. They don't, like you said, they don't care about people. Mao's quote was, one person is a tragedy, 500 million is a statistic, and that is their belief. But if they're going to suffer from their trade and the pressure's ratcheted up, yeah, like all sanctions are often obeyed more in the disobedience than the performance, but there's a possibility. I'm not holding out a lot of hope, mind you, but Trump has made more progress on this front than anyone else before him. And What about Trump, though? His attitude, the unpredictability, the flippant comments, all that, that's a strategy. I mean, he's used it since the election. Is I don't want my adversaries to know what I'm thinking and what I'm really going to do. That's advanced strategic thinking, isn't it? It's Sun Tzu's Art of War, kind of in a nutshell, isn't it?
Well, I hope it is. I mean, you know, we saw during the campaign that with his Twitter account, he would just spout off. He was very impulsive, and you know, it wasn't beyond him to, you know, turn to Carly Farina and say, you know, what an ugly woman. You know, could you imagine
exactly
a face like that of your president? That kind of stuff. So, I mean, he did, you know, the kind of crass, reckless statements that are sort of classic Trump. But now that he's president, he's got people to, you know, help manage him
filter
on that. And I think a really telling point with North Korea, it was a Sunday, I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he tweeted the Rocket Man comment about little Kim, which was funny. We all got a laugh out of that and enjoyed that. And I thought, okay, you know, hopefully he isn't just spouting off on his Twitter account. Well, 2 or 3 days later, he gave the UN speech and he used the phrase Rocket Man again. Mm-hmm. And at that point, in that formal UN speech, which was an excellent speech, mm-hmm, you know, that speech had been written by somebody else. He clearly wanted that phrase in there. So it meant that it was approved. It was approved by the generals on his staff. So at that point, you'd have to say he's not just spouting off from the Twitter account. It is calculated and it is strategic, and he's being more careful about what he says. So this policy of kind of provocation, of getting under little Kim's skin, I hope it works. It's definitely obviously unlike anything anybody else has tried. I do have a hard time, Kerry, in all sincerity, wondering, you know, what will it do, right? I mean, is it gonna make Kim scared and worried and thus less likely to do something? I don't know. I don't think so. On the other hand, is it a risk? Is it going to make him more likely to do something? I don't know. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it will do. Keep in mind, I'm a Reagan scholar, and I loved when Reagan called the Soviet Union an evil empire. I mean, that was great. And Reagan later explained that he was doing that to re-moralize the conflict, to try to remind Americans that this is an evil empire, and to try to get them to understand that what he was doing in confronting the Soviet Union. With little Kim calling him Rocket Man, it's the same kind of candid approach as Reagan did with the Soviets, but I don't know that has the exact same intentions. I mean, Americans don't need to be convinced that Kim is crazy, or maybe they do. Maybe that is part of it. I'm not sure. So I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I think that his ability to marginalize and ridicule his opposition is one of the reasons why he succeeded. Look, ridicule, probably of all the tools available in your arsenal to confront adversaries, is probably the most powerful. And I'll just point to an example recently where it really, really made a difference, and I think could potentially put a nail in the coffin of ISIS. There was a caravan of buses holding like 300 ISIS warriors, and they were stuck in the desert. The U.S. had cut off all their ingress and egress, and they were picking them off. They didn't blow them up, but they just sat helplessly in the desert for almost a month, Paul. And and it really put, you know, it really wasn't a good recruiting tool for ISIS. They were helpless. They were finally let go after a negotiation between Syria and Iraq, and they let them go to the next place where they'll probably be killed. But the PR value of them being marginalized and ridiculed was really quite significant, and basically portraying Kim Jong-un as a demented, you know, guy with delusions of grandeur and with just being living in a fantasy probably is not such a bad thing, because he wants respect, apparently, from the world community, and he wants power, and ridicule really depletes one's power.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, possibly. He's obviously different from ISIS, right? Because with him, you've got one man, and he's got nukes, and he's got a nuclear capability. And, you know, if they're like the liberals will say, oh, Trump's got his finger near the button. Well, you know, he's got to go through several layers of approval before he pushes any button. Kim doesn't have to. I mean, it's, you know, Kim's got that thing, you know, like the right next to the TV remote control while he's watching NBA basketball games. You know, he can fire that thing off at any time. He could get really smashed one night drunk, partying with his chicks, and fire one off. So
yeah, well,
I don't know. I don't know how this ends. I'll tell you what I've been telling my students for 20 years. I don't see any happy ending with North Korea. And I hope I'm wrong on that, but it just gets worse and worse and worse. And I don't know. I don't know.
Hey, well, the way I see it, it's going to end the same way that Venezuela is going to end, because socialism always fails in the long run. We've seen it from the time of the Pilgrims to the Soviet bloc to umpteen other examples. It's going to fail. Now, who he's going to take down with him is really the question. But
that's right.
Failure is the ultimate result. It can't be any other way. Paul, you've got a book that you wanted me to mention that really sounded fascinating.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I have actually two books that recently came out. So one is called A Pope and a President on John Paul II and Ronald Reagan and how they worked together to defeat the Soviets. And in that, I've got their attack on atheistic Soviet communism and how the Soviets actually ordered the attempted assassination of Pope John Paul II. I go through all of that stuff. And I also have just released The Politically Incorrect Guide to Communism, which has a full chapter just on North Korea. So I'd encourage people to go to Amazon and check those out.
Hey, and write us an email. Paul would love to hear from you. The email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. Twitter feed @KerryLutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Access us there on any of those channels, as well as on the website. Don't hesitate to leave a comment for any article you're interested in. I'm going to be pulling them out and discussing them. Also on the YouTube channel, it seems like the YouTube channel, for some reason, more of you are engaged on that than anything else. But whatever it takes, we review them all. We're mindful of your comments and your criticisms. We appreciate them all. Paul, it's been great having you on the show. It's really been an eye-opener in a lot of respects. We'll talk to you again soon. Keep up the great work.
Thanks so much, Kerry. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.